Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Realmente una bendición.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. It is truly a great blessing and privilege to be here on this resurrection morning, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, today, Sunday, April 20th of this year, 2025. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin there in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, in the congregation that the Reverend Epifanio Lopez pastors. All the brethren there, may God bless them greatly. And also to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 on this occasion. Greetings also to the Reverend Luis Riquelme there in San Bernardo, Chile, whose birthday is today. May God bless him greatly, and to everyone whose birthday are around these days, like our brother Bruno, whose birthday was recently also. May God bless him, and may he also bless his family who came here, his parents, as well as Lorena's parents, her mother, and the other people who are here in Puerto Rico this morning, like our brother Reverend Jose Hernandez from Chile. Also the Reverend Ramon Abreu from Dominican Republic, and other people who are visiting us, which were already mentioned. You are all welcome on this occasion. Today is a day of joy, of victory, where we remember that day of our Lord's resurrection. The sacred scriptures tells us in the gospel, according to Matthew, in chapter 28, verse 1 and on, where it tells us, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like a lightning, and his raiment white as snow. There is a star of David on the right, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. This is the subject we will be seeing. This message was preached on November 22, 2014 in Cali, Colombia, by Dr. William Soto Santiago. You may please be seated. in the Gospels. Each one of them narrates a bit of the story of what happened on that glorious morning of the Lord's resurrection. And in Luke, on chapter 24, verse 1, there he tells us that there were two angels there. Notice, Matthew speaks to us about one angel. And here in Luke, it says, chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they come into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain other with them. Above that, he writes, 6-9 a.m. equals fourth watch, and a small cornerstone on the left. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And he writes, men, and a star of David. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now notice, in the Gospel according to John, there it gives us other details. On chapter 20, verse 1 and on, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. In other words, when the day was breaking. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. In other words, to John. And said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and come first to the sepulchre. That is John. He arrived first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Now, in the unedited book of the ages, Brother Branham gives us a very great revelation as to why one went in and the other one did not. But we'll be seeing that soon. Now he goes on to say, Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not laid with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And there on the left he drew a star of David. Now then, the other disciple went in. In other words, John. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. There he drew a star of David. And he writes Revelation 11:3-7 and 14:14-20. Those angels were the ministries of Moses and Elijah, which have been seen on Mount Transfiguration, speaking to Jesus about the departure of Jesus to Jerusalem. In the adoption of Jesus, Moses and Elijah were there. Therefore, they had to be present in that final trajectory of that work that he was going to carry out on Calvary's cross. And they also had to do with the resurrection. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And he drew a star of David. She didn't realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Who seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And there he drew a star of David on the right. Now notice in Matthew, there we saw that the women in verse 9 of chapter 28, they held him by the feet and worshiped him. At that point, they did touch him. They could touch him. He had already presented himself before the Father. In other words, all of that happened back to back. Here John shows us a bit before that. And they could not touch him then. Now, Revelation 11, shows us that this time they will not be buried. And they will not let him, in other words, they will not be able to take him, as we say, to have a Christian burial. But rather they will leave him laying there. Because notice, in Matthew, in chapter 28, where we were reading, where we read at the beginning on verse 11, he continues, Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and shewed unto the chief priest of all the things that were done. They had seen there. Doesn't it say there where we read that they were left astonished by everything they seen? In other words, they were witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord. But the unbeliever, doesn't matter what he sees or he's looking at, he continues to be an unbeliever. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, in other words, they had come to an agreement, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Notice what a lie, because the devil is a liar from the beginning. He is a murderer and a liar. There you are seeing that serpent's trail, which began in the Garden of Eden. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. See? Because of the leaders. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, Revelation 11, it will not allow the law at that time for them to be buried. Therefore, it will be a worldwide testimony of the resurrection of the two olive trees. And remember that Revelation 11 is the same as Revelation 19, which is the coming of the Lord. Now, in Amos chapter 8, which is the scripture that Dr. William Soto read to us here in this message, along with John 5, or John 6, 53 and on. But let us read Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, "Behold, the day come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." Our brother Branham in the message, "Modern events are made clear by prophecy," he tells us about all those scriptures that Jesus was fulfilling, which are going to be repeated in a present day manner at this end time. And he tells us on page 36, on this version, paragraph 274, he says, "Am not I tonight trying to tell you, word by word, even to the position, the place, the names, the numbers, everything else, and all the signs, times, and everything, that we're right here at the end time? Surely you can see what I'm talking about, see? Look, that's so plain, it should need no more identification." He said, when he was here on earth, "Search the scriptures. In them, you think you have eternal life. They are what? They testify what I am, see, who I am." Notice, he begins with Moses the prophet, a prophet. Deuteronomy 18, 15. I'm watching the scripture here, Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, "The Lord your God." See, God spoke to him on top of the mountain. And, oh my, the thundering, they said, let Moses speak, not God, lest we perish. He said, they said, well, I won't speak to them no more like this, but I'll raise them up a prophet. And that's been his message all the way through. That's what's got to settle the whole thing at the end. It just got to. Because the word of the Lord has to come to the prophet. It's the only thing it can come to. If it don't, it breaks God's word and make him tell something wrong. See? Because Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing his secrets unto his servants, his prophets." Now, why shall they wander from sea to sea? It says there in Amos chapter 8, which we read. Because they would have lost sight of the word. And where they have to look for it, as it's always been from age to age, is in a messenger, in an instrument. See, it'll never go to a seminary. It goes to a prophet, nor to organizations, nor to groups. It goes to a man. And the prophet is sent from God, ordained. And how you know it is, and not what the man says. We've had Elias and coats and everything else, and mantles, and all kinds of nonsense, and went off into organizationism and everything else. But there will come on this earth by God's promise, a genuine servant of God, identified by God, by his word being the answer of this day. Thou set the bride in order, a real little minority of the church, and take it up. In other words, in the rapture. That's right. He'll introduce, behold, there is the one I talked about, see? Thou come. In other words, he's placing it in the future. That servant of God who would rise, identified by God to put the church in order. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the left. And all that the prophets have said about him and for this age, why, it sure would be interesting to have heard him say that. Wouldn't you like to have heard him say it? All the prophets said about, remember he said what the prophet would say about himself, quoting his own self, what he had said, and he was the word, quoting. In other words, Jesus quoting the scriptures, of which, in the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 24, tells us about that conversation he had with those going to Emmaus, of which Brother Branham here is going to speak to us a little bit about it. He says, now let's listen to the words that he quoted. Would you like to hear what he said to them? Let's just carry their conversation now just before we stop. Now, they were briefed on all the late happenings of the crucifixion, of the story at the grave and the tomb. And the women had seen him, and another one said they seen him, and so forth. He said, they briefed him on that. In other words, those who were walking. You already know that story. Do you know? Are you unaware of what happened? That Jesus was condemned, crucified? Although some women apparently saw him, and they had a conversation with Jesus there, not knowing it was Jesus. They briefed him on that, and he goes right on with the word about quoting himself through the word. Because the word made flesh, which was the word in John chapter 1, verse 1, that he was the word. By coming in human flesh in the person of Jesus, what was Jesus going to do? Quote the word. Because he was the word. And he had to identify himself with the word. And he, Brother Branham, starts to speak about what Jesus was saying there, having that conversation. Now look in Zechariah 12. He must have quoted Zechariah 11:12. For he was sold with 30 pieces of silver. Was not the Messiah supposed to be sold by 30 pieces of silver? In Psalm 41:9, he was betrayed by his friends. See? Zechariah 13:7, forsaken by his disciples. In Psalm 35:11, accused by false witnesses. Now, all of this is being repeated again today in a present-day manner, where the characters start to get into those positions where those scriptures were pointing to those who were against the first coming of the Lord. And today is the equivalent. In other words, they are making history that later in the millennium, the characters will be seen, just as they were seen here, and in the sacred scriptures, the characters of the first coming of the Lord. Both those who were in favor of the Lord, believers in the Lord, as well as those against. History repeats itself. We are making history today. Now, on which side of history are you on today? In other words, everything that is happening live and in full color is the history that later will be read and will be preached regarding what happened at the second coming of the Lord. Woe unto those who are taking those positions, but they are already destined for that. In Psalm 35:11, accused by false witnesses, by Isaiah 37:7, dumb before his accuser, never opened his mouth. All right, sir. Isaiah 56, he was scourged. Psalm 22:22, he cried at the cross, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me? All my bones, they stare at me. They pierce my hand and my feet." Look at the prophecies he could talk about. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, a virgin shall conceive, and so forth. And also in Psalm 22:18, they parted his garments among them. In Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. Psalm 22:7-8, may be mocked by his enemies. He's supposed to be his friends. His enemies, the church. In Psalm 22 again, he was, not a bone was to be broken, but they pierced his hands and his feet. Isaiah 53:12, died with malefactors. In Isaiah 53:9, bruised and buried with the rich brother. In Psalm 16:10, he was resurrected from the dead. David said so, "I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell." He was raised from the dead. Malachi 3, John the Baptist was his forerunner. And all the types he might have went to, even to Isaac being the type of him upon the mountain where his father Abraham took him in Genesis 22. It was now that they begin to see who had fulfilled these scriptures that was promised of that day. It was then, after it was late, they began to see, oh, well, wait a minute. You know what? They knew then that their crucified friend Jesus was that prophet that was promised. They knew because, see, they hadn't been briefed on the scriptures. But here, all these things that's supposed to happen at the cross, all these things, fools slow of heart to understand all the prophets have said, how that the Messiah shall suffer and enter in his glory and raise the third day. Still they go, oh yeah, that's right. I say he, did not our hearts burn within us? They said, no wonder their hearts burnt. The prophecy that he was given that was fulfilled. Then they begin to understand that their friend the men that they eat with, talk with, associated with, fished with, laid in the woods, that fulfilled every word of the promised hour. In other words, that later, when they see all those scriptures, but wait, truly, this was the one. But for some, it will be too late. There it was. They had walked 6 miles. It seemed a very short time, I suppose, and they had heard a 6-hour sermon on vindicated prophecy, a little longer than what we've had tonight, see? It was now getting kind of late in the evening time. The evening lights had come. It's the same time now, church. The evening lights has come. Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, events made clear by prophecy. Same as today. The evening light promised by the prophet of God in Zechariah 14:7 may again open the true believer's eyes to the events that's taking place today. Now, everything that happened in the first coming of the Lord, in His second coming, there are also from Genesis to the Revelation scriptures that point out and that those prophets give those prophecies regarding the second coming of the Lord. Because that seventh seal, which is the coming of the Lord, has been announced since Genesis. Therefore, that conversation will be repeated again. And what happened will then be spoken. They will be prophecies that will be made known to mankind, where everything that was spoken to happen to the second coming of the Lord, that would be made known. But there will no longer be time then for salvation. Now notice, he tells us in the message, the censer in the most holy place, because notice, after he carried out that work at Calvary's cross, the work of God wouldn't stop there. He would be on the throne of the Father making intercession under the dispensation of grace for everyone who would receive Him as their Savior. In other words, He would carry out a work. Now notice, in this message preached on October 4th, 2009, in Goiânia, Brazil, Dr. William Soto says, so we are in a very, very important time. Everything that is taking place in heaven has been reflected on earth in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever is happening at the incense altar, where that angel takes, who is a main priest of the heavenly temple, will be happening in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where someone will be the representation of that angel who takes the censer in heaven to take the prayers of the saints before the presence of God. Did you hear that? Now notice, that is in Revelation chapter 8. Because at this end time, with the opening of the seventh seal, after he left the throne of intercession and the door of the dispensation of grace is shut, there is a work that is being carried out, which shows us here that all of that is happening there with that angel is shown on earth. There has to be a representation on earth. And it must be a prophet. And it must be a dispensational prophet. Now he says in Revelation chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire of the altar, and casted it onto the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake. On that throne, there can no longer be mercy with thunderings, lightnings, and all of that, but rather it is a throne of judgment. On earth, it is the throne of judgment. And just as in the dispensation of grace, the throne of mercy was Jesus, the throne of judgment in his second coming is the manifestation of that angel who was different from the rest, from the seventh seal. What does the seventh seal contain? The coming of the Lord. Now notice, on page 372 in the Book of the Seals, the Reverend William Branham tells us, now, if there is no altar of sacrifice in heaven, where is then sacrifice for sin laying then, the lamb? There has to be a place where that slain lamb, bloody, is laying there, where the blood is. Now, the incense was the odorous stuff that they burnt, which the Bible said was the prayers of the saints. Above that paragraph, he writes, if there is no blood on the altar, prayers do not reach there. Now, there is a way for them to reach that place. If there isn't no sacrifice on the altar, then the prayers cannot be received. It's only by the blood on the sacrificial altar that lets the prayers go through God. And he writes Revelation 8, 1-5, upward on the right. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages on the left. Now, Dr. William Soto continues saying here, and surely that angel, in other words, that angel of Revelation 8, and surely that angel will also be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot explain too much there to avoid completely opening that mystery. But remember, everything that will be happening in heaven, where Christ, the Lamb of God, becomes the Lion of the tribe of Judah, takes the book sealed with seven seals from the right hand of God. And all of that then is reflected in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will receive that book sealed with seven seals opened and will have it in her midst. That book is the Lamb's Book of Life, where the names of the elect of God are written, and also the other section where the names of those who can be blotted out are written. Now, by the book being in the midst of his church, that vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where he saw a white throne and the recording angel with the book, shows us that the roll call is being made from this dimension. There's a place in the ages where he says that there is a roll call in the rapture and a writing. Now notice why, just like you have a list of guests for a dinner, well, to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, there is a list. And the roll call is done and the soul of each elect is sealed with a present. 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 This is here, this is here, this is here. In other words, confirmed. In activities where there is a wedding, don't they have a person? Look, you're going to, here is the list, here you have the numbers, and several days before, you're going to call and confirm their attendance. The one who has the book is calling each elect of God to confirm their presence at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at this time, they have been confirming their attendance at that supper. Now notice, on page 79, let us see if they already found the part about, is in ages? On page 436. Let us see there. On 436. There is where he tells us about that vision of the throne of Jesus and the angel. Notice, he says, I want to tell you a little thing happened. This was a dream. I was asleep. I have never told this publicly before. I dreamt about a month after that, that I was standing one day, and I was watching the great time that But I was there when the crown was being given out, see? And the great big throne set up here. And Jesus and the recording angel and all was standing there. And he writes on the left, the angel of Jesus. Remember that everything that is happening in that dimension must have an equivalent here on earth, which is being carried out before the full fulfillment of it. Ages 318, edited or unedited? Edited? Let's finish here in the Book of the Seals. And there was a stair, steps, like, come down this way of white ivory, run down a circle, made a panoramic like this, and went out, so that all this great host standing out there could see what was happening. And I would stand back over, way back to one side, and I would just stand in there. Never an idea I had to walk them steps. I was standing there, I'd see. The recording angel would call a certain name, and I would know, recognize that name. I looked, and way back out there, here come the brother, walking with a sister, walked up to you like that. The recording angel standing there by the side of Christ, just a dream now, and was watching, and their name was on there. It was found in the Book of Life. See? Now later on, we'll see who has that book. He would look out over them and say, It was well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter in. I looked back where they was going. There was a new world, and the joys. And I said, enter into the joy of the Lord that's been for you since the foundation of the world, see? And oh, I thought, they go through there and meeting one another and just rejoicing and going over mountains and great big place. But I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? Glory, hallelujah, just jumping up and down. Then I would hear another name called, and above he writes, the angel. And I think, oh, I know him. There he goes, there. Watch him like that. Enter into the joy of the Lord, my good end. Now those who have been against the divine program will not be there. In other words, against the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. In this other book, I got it there to check there on page 380 on the left upward. He writes, Jesus, and on another line, the recording angel. Revelation 1:1, 7, verse 2, and 10:8-11. There we already seen who that angel is. Then I would hear another name called, I think, oh, I know him, I know him. There he goes, there. Watch him like that. Enter into the joy of the Lord, my good and. I said, praise God, praise God. Just say, for instance, like they say, Ormond Neville. See, he was the pastor there on the Branham Tabernacle. And they'd say, that old brother Neville, there he is, see, and here he comes, out of the crowd, goes up. Now he say, enter into the joy of the Lord that's been prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. Enter in. Now notice on page 380 at the bottom, he writes, he will adopt a son, his angel, and will give him the title deed. An old brother Neville just changed and just start back in there, just screaming and hollering. Boy, I just shout and say, glory to God, standing over here by myself, having a wonderful time, watching my brethren go in. And a recording angel, this recording angel, stood there and said, William Branham. There on the right, he writes Revelation 10:1-11. I never thought I have to walk that. So then I was scared. I thought, oh my, will I have to do that? So I went walking down there. And just everybody patting me on the, hi, Brother Branham. God bless you, Brother Branham. How beautiful would that be? When we are there at that supper that has been prepared for us. And we will say, it was worth it. It was worth it to fight. It was worth it to persevere. It was worth it to keep moving forward. Despite everything that we went through, we are here. Patting me as I go along through a great big crowd of people, and all of them reaching over and patting me like that. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. I was going and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, like coming out of a meeting or something, you know. And he continues narrating there. But let us go now to the ages where he tells us that there is a roll call in the rapture. On 280, let us see here, this one should be, if you can send me the little part where it starts, because I brought the one that is, since the pages are a little bit off. Let us see if it is 321. It is 285 of this version, he says. Thus the grain of wheat that become a plant for the harvest, and he writes there, the wheat, is the record of the church. And even as not all the wheat plant is wheat seed, and as not all the plant is used in the harvest, so with the church. All the church is not the bride, and neither it is all given eternal life, but a part of it is gathered into the garner, and a part of it is kept that he might enter into eternal life in the second resurrection. Those belong to the foolish virgins. And part of it, which is accounted chaff, is burnt in the lake of fire. And this is exactly what John the Baptist and Jesus said. For John said that the wheat would be gathered and the chaff burnt. Luke 3:17. Jesus said, bind the tares and then gather the wheat. Matthew 13:30. The ecumenical move will bind the tare churches together. For the tares must be bound first. And though their end is burning, they are not burnt at their binding, but are reserved to a later date, which is at the end of the 1,000 years. That is on the second resurrection. But once the tares are bound, the rapture can take place. And thus, so at some time between the binding and the revelation of Antichrist, then will come the day when all stand together as seen in Daniel 7:10. And there he writes, the rapture after the tares are gathered. And let us see. If it is also here, it should be on the other one that he wrote that writing of in the rapture, the roll call happens, or there is a roll call in the rapture. That is what he wrote there. Let us see here. I should be close to that part here, but this book is the one that the pages are a little bit off. He goes on to say, the king will be there with his bride, and in front of them will be the multitude who are to be judged. Yes, all are there. All the books are open. A final disposition of all is made. The harvest is indeed over. The books, once opened, are closed. There above, notice he writes, the judgment equals the spiritual one after the seventh age. And further below, look, it is right here. It's because I had his post in there, on top. Now notice, that's how the veil is. While it's not removed, you can't see what's behind there. A bit further on, he says, the great shepherd is calling his sheep by name. The creative voice of God is calling them forth from the dust or changing their atoms, even though they had not fallen asleep. It is the rapture. It is the great marriage supper of the Lamb and His bride. But the rapture is not the only roll call. There at the second resurrection, at the great white throne judgment, will names be confessed before the Father and His angels. Now, I have been told by those who know that the sweetest sound to the human ear is the sound of that person's name. Of course, because imagine you being called by your name. How? By the word. And you automatically will say, well, my name is being mentioned there. And there he writes at the bottom, there is a roll call in the rapture. And on the left, upward, resurrection, transformation, and rapture. Now, that book that was taken, which that seventh seal is open in chapter 8, notice on page 94 of the Book of the Seals. And let us have this one open as well, to see what there is written, and this other one also. Let us have three witnesses. Now he says, the Lamb being slain, page 94 on the Book of the Seals. For every sinner, the Lamb being slain. How can Jehovah see anything but that bloody Lamb standing there? And the Lamb proceeded out into the vision now, as it has been slain. Notice, come from the Father's throne. There on the right, he writes, Father's throne. Oh, think, where did he advance from to this vision? He come from glory, where he is seated at the right hand of God. He advanced forth to John out of glory. Now remember that Stephen saw heaven open, and he saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Stephen's eyes were open there to see. For Stephen to see behind the curtain of time. Now notice that at this end time, the elect of God will be seen behind the curtain of time, and also behind the curtain which is the veil, and will be able to see that throne. In other words, on that throne, they will be able to see the one who is sitting as judge. Now notice. Let us see there in Acts, chapter 7, after Acts, chapter 7, after that powerful message that Stephen was speaking there, and how they because he was quoting them the scripture. He made them, let us say, a summary of everything. And on verse 54 he says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were furious, because there is nothing more terrible to the enemy of God, which is the devil, than the word that shakes them to the core. And there he draws Saul of David to the right. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And the right hand is the power. And likewise, each son and daughter of God at this end time can say the same thing. I see the heavens open, I see that eternal age, and I see the Son of Man in his final manifestation. But no longer as a lamb, but as a lion, as judge. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Notice how the word, he wasn't doing anything to them. They were abusive. It was all of them against one. All he was doing was preaching. But since that word discerns and pierces, as Paul says, the thoughts, the heart's intent, he was exposing them, unmasking them. From everything he had preached, they identified themselves as those who were against the divine program in each time. And now they were there. He was pointing them out. He was placing them in their corresponding position in the scriptures. And to them, that was terrible. They covered their ears, but all he was doing was preaching. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet whose name was Saul. There he draws a star of David on the right and he writes, Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he draws a star of David on the right. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, that great and powerful message that Stephen preached back then, and that revelation that God gave us through him there, for this end time, it would be fulfilled in an updated manner. Now notice, our brother Branham continues to say, on page 97, oh, would not it be a glorious thing if our sinful thoughts, or just a bit before, to continue where we paused. He come from glory where he is seated at the right hand of God. He advanced forth to John out of glory. Oh, would not it be a glorious thing if our sinful thoughts tonight could be laid aside long enough to accept him, and he would advance all the way from glory tonight to make himself known to any of you. The Lamb advancing from glory to intercession, all right, to make claim now for his redemption. And here, he draws a Star of David. In this one, on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in this one, he also writes there, the claim. And he also draws a Star of David. Remember, he had been on his mediatorial work back here. But remember, the seals are ready to be opened. And the Lamb came from the sanctuary of God, advanced forward. Wait till we get over there, that 1 hour, take that 1.5 hour, that is silent. The sanctuary is smoking. There is no more intercession. The sacrifice has left. It's a judgment seat. On the right, he writes, judgment. And here he writes, the 1/2 hour of silence. There is no blood on it no more, for the blood-covered Lamb had walked away. Don't you wait till that time. Here on the left, upward, he writes, 1/2 hour of silence equals smoke in the sanctuary. And he writes, Revelation 8, 1 to 5. Remember in the Old Testament, as long as the blood was of the mercy seat, it was judgment. But as long as the blood was on there, there was mercy. But when the Lamb walked away, that did it. Here in this blue one, he writes on the left, judgment seat. And here a Star of David on the right in this other blue one. What's he been? He has been an intercessor. No other person. Tell me where Mary could make intercession then? What could Mary offer? What could Saint Francis, Saint Assisi, or any Saint Cecilia rather, or any other human being? John never saw 1,000 saints come out from the mediatorial. He saw a lamb that had been slain bloody. I don't care how many saints have been slain. They will all do it, every one of them. Like the thief said at the cross, we've sinned and we are due this. But this man has done nothing. He was the only man that was worthy. Here he comes from the intercessory box. And he writes, the Father's throne above that. What's he coming for now? Watch him. Oh, oh my. John was weeping. Paragraph 205. John was weeping. Where is it all at? What's going to happen? Said, don't weep anymore, John, said the elder. Here comes the lion. He was the one prevailed. When he looked, here come a lamb, bloody, that had been slain. Anything that's killed is bloody. You know, it's been killed. Its neck has been chopped open or something. The blood is all over it. Here come a lamb, being slain. And he came forth, oh my, what? To make his claim on his redemption. And there on the right, he writes, claim. And above, where he says, John was weeping, there he writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 6. Amen. Oh, oh. Don't you just feel like going over in a corner, sit down and cry a while? Here come a lamb, still bloody. John, there wasn't nothing there. All the celebrity was standing around, but there was none of them could do it. So, here come the lamb now. His intercessory days is over, the mediatorial days. That's when this angel is going to stand there. You wait till we get in the seals, and time shall be no more. Now notice that that angel, when the seventh seal is opened, to whom the prayers of the saints are given, and he ascends before the presence of God on earth, when that half hour of silence begins, and the seventh seal is opened, and that angel comes down from heaven and says, time shall be no more, then that equivalent has to appear on earth, which is being carried out in heaven. That's right, that half hour of silence. Watch what takes place in that half hour of silence when that seventh seal next Sunday night, the Lord willing. And here he writes on the left, upward on the blue one, the half hour of silence of the seventh seal. That is of the coming of the Lord. And here on the right, he also writes, half hour of silence. And here he writes, the seals themselves. And he writes, future, Revelation 10, 1 to 11. He comes forth, and he writes, from the Father's throne, what? To take his claim now. Oh my, come forth to take his claim now. He had done the king's man work. He had come down, become man, died. He done the king's man work of redemption, but had not as yet called for his claim. Now he comes on the scene to claim his right. How? The way he did it in the first coming of the Lord, by becoming flesh. And there he writes, the claim on the right. Watch what takes place, oh my. For which he was slain, for as becoming a king's man to man, to die in his place, to redeem him. But the elder was right when he said he was a lion, see? The elder called him, said a lion, because he had been a lamb, an intercessor, a bloody lamb. But now he's coming forth as a lion. His days of intercession is over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's righteous be righteous still. Let him that's holy be holy still. The thing is close, oh brother. Then what? Then what? And remember, it comes at the seventh church age when the mysteries of God will be opened up. To the left he writes, him that is filthy. And he also writes, lion. Now notice. And on the right he also writes on this red one, the elder was right. Now watch real close. This is something you must get. He circles and on the lines, get. Now, he had been doing his mediatorial work. making intercession for the believer. For 2,000 years he had been back there, a lamb. Now, he's stepping forth from eternity to take the title deed book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries. When of it? At the end time. Do you get it? All right, we'll go on then. Now, break the seals and release all the mysteries to them, to the seventh angel, whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. And there on the right side he writes, seventh dispensational angel. The mysteries of God lays in these seven seals. See? That's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in these seven seals. And the Lamb comes forth now from being a mediator between God and man. He becomes a lion. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book. That's his rights. God has held it, the mystery. But now the Lamb comes. Nobody could take the book. It's still in the hands of God. There on the left he writes, lion. And below he writes, lion, king. No pope, priest, whatever might be, they can't take, the book. The seventh seal hasn't been revealed, see? But when the mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth. And the elder said he's a lion, and he comes forth. Watch him, oh my, see? He comes forth to take the book. Now watch. To reveal the mysteries of God that others has guessed at in all these denominational ages. And above on the margin he writes, the elder said, lion, king. And also there in that paragraph we just read, there he writes, the denominational ages. See then, the seventh angel. If this book mysteries is the word of God, the seventh angel has to be a prophet for the word of God to come to. What we were talking about some time ago from modern events are made clearly by prophecy. And there on the right, he draws Star of David. No priest, popes, or anything else can get it. The word don't come to such. The word of God comes only to a prophet, always. Malachi 4 promised such. And when he come forth, he will take the mysteries of God, where the church had to go all scrubbed up in all these denominations, and restore the faith of the children back to the Father. And then the world judgment would strike, and the earth would be burnt. And then the righteous would walk out upon the ashes of the wicked in the millennium. Do you understand it now? All right. And there he writes, on the left, upward, the restoration. The book of the seven seals is the word of God. The restoration, the book of the seven seals, is the word of God. And Dr. William Soto continues to say here, in this message that we are reading, the censer in the most holy place, remember that it is in the right hand of the one who is sitting on the throne. Therefore, it is in the most holy place of the heavenly temple. And therefore, it has to come from the most holy place of the heavenly temple in the hand of Christ. In other words, the title, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven to place it where? In his spiritual temple. In the most holy place, which is the place for it. In the book of quotations, on page 50, paragraph 431, which is an excerpt, let us see here, from the Book of the Ages, unedited. It is found on 562. And on the booklet, it's page 40. Let us have it also opened here. So we have the booklet. We have the portion there from the Book of Quotations. And there is also the unedited Book of the Ages. Now, he says, it would be on paragraph 228. As we've seen them now, that was God's throne in heaven. Moses partitioned it on earth was God's throne because his judgment seat was represented here on earth in the Holy of Holies. God, three dots, all Israel come to that one place to find mercy because God only met under the shed blood. There he writes on the booklet, he draws a Star of David, and on the left he writes, God's throne, judgment seat, most holy place. Now listen close. Then the Shekinah glory raised from that mercy seat one day, and it settled on another tabernacle. Amen. This one, the Father judged no man, but he's committed all judgment to the Son. God's judgment seat. Woof. You speak against me, it'll be forgiven you. Speak another one coming, another mercy seat. Speak. You speak against the Son of Man, I will forgive you. But someday the Holy Spirit will come to dwell in the heart of the people. One word against it will never be forgiven. And there he draws three circles, and also a cornerstone that's here in the book. And also here in the booklet, he writes, on another mercy seat, he writes, throne. And below, he writes, another mercy seat is coming. And upward, he writes, Moses and Elijah. In other words, he's already identifying there that other mercy seat. And in the book of quotations, there, notice in that paragraph, notice he writes on top, the judgment seat equals the Son. And under excerpt 431, he writes, first throne equals in heaven. Second throne equals Christ. Third throne equals man. And he writes the tabernacle. Now he also writes some scriptures there, Revelation 10:8-11 and 11:3-6. In other words, that they are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Now, he said that he would come in his own throne. Let us see. Page 134 from the Book of the Seals. We all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on the earth. He did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now, someday, he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. Now, he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? He's already got the Book of Redemption in his hand. We already know who has the book. We already know who the throne is. And we already know who will be carrying out that claiming work. Who is fulfilling that prophecy? And on the left he writes, the Father's throne, the Son's throne. Now he continues to say a bit more down here. on this paragraph 230 of Revelation chapter 4, part 2. It keeps getting more severe and more severe all the time. The judgment. Because God is continually wearing His patience out, trying to get sinners to come to Him to be reconciled. First, He was in the heavens above and shining through the stars. The second, He was on earth, shining through the Shekinah glory. Next, He came and was made flesh and dwelt among us, still wearing His patience. Then, He redeemed man by His blood, came into His church in the form of the Holy Ghost, and speak against that, it's a finished thing, done. Now, you can see where the shaking come, where the time they don't realize. People can't comprehend what it means. Now, the first throne was in heaven, judgment seat. The second throne was in Christ. The third throne is in a man. And that portion is the one that is there in the book of quotations, where we read those writings from page 50, paragraph 531. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say, by being in the right hand of the one who is sitting on the throne, it must come to the throne of the Lord of His spiritual temple. And the throne of the Lord in the spiritual temple, as it was in the tabernacle that Moses built, and temple that Solomon built, is the mercy seat, a place of God's presence. Now we have seen that mercy seat in this time, the ministries of Moses and Elijah, a place of God's presence from the midst of the two cherubims, because that was what God told Moses. In chapter 25, look in verse 16 of Exodus, it says, and thou shalt put into the ark of the testimony which I shall give thee, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, and beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Towards the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. In other words, those are the two, which are the 2 cherubims of solid gold, the first one that God commanded to be made in the tabernacle of Moses, which are the ones that are there on the lid upon the mercy seat, facing one another. That is, their wings like this, covering in the front of them, and their faces looking towards the mercy seat. And on the left here, he draws a Star of David. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. There he draws a Star of David on the right. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment into the children of Israel. And here he writes on the right, he writes upward, God declares himself to Moses from the ark of the covenant. Now notice, in 1 Kings chapter 6. Verse 12 says, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgment and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel. I will not forsake my people Israel. There he draws a star of David to the left. So Solomon built a house and finished it. And he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them on the inside with wood, and covered the floor of the house with plank of fir. And he built 20 cubits on the side of the house, both the floors and the walls with boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place. There he writes on the left, upward, the most holy place. And the house, that is, the temple before it, was 40 cubits long. And the cedar of the house within was carved with knops and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone seen. And the oracle he prepared in the house within, to set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And he draws a star of David on the left. And the oracle in the forepart was 20 cubits in length, and 20 cubits in breadth, and 20 cubits in the height thereof. And he overlaid it with pure gold, and so covered the altar with was of cedar. And there he writes Revelation 8, 1 to 5. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made a partition by chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house he overlaid it with gold, until he had finished all the house. Also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. And within the oracle he made two cherubims of olive tree, each 10 cubits high. Now notice, here he is placing two additional cherubims. Here on this other Bible, he writes, two cherubims of olive wood. And here he writes, Revelation 11, verse 3. There he is referring to Moses and Elijah, the ministries of the two olive trees. And 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. For the uttermost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. And the other cherub was 10 cubits, for the cherubims were of one measure and one size. And he draws a cornerstone. The height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was it of the other cherub. And he set the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubims, so that the wing of the one touched the one wall, and the other wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and the wings touched one another in the midst of the house. Now, in 2 Chronicles, there he tells us something else, a few more details. 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 8 says, and he made the most holy house, the length whereof was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and he overlaid it with fine gold, amounting to 600 talents, and the weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. And he overlaid the upper chambers with gold. And in the most holy place house, he made two cherubims of image work and overlaid them with gold. and the wings of the cherubims were 20 cubits long. One wing of the cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was likewise 5 cubits, reaching to the wing of the other cherub. And one wing of the other cherub was 5 cubits, reaching to the wall of the house, and the other wing was 5 cubits also, joining the wing of the other cherub. Now notice what this verse says. These wings of these cherubims spread themselves forth 20 cubits, and they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward. The two small cherubims were facing downward, but these two were looking at the people. Notice, I think it was in Honduras, so that the children can perhaps have, because the adult understand it, but notice, it would be something like this. This is the mercy seat. Here is the two small cherubims looking downward. But the big ones are like this. And the other one here. And they were looking, they were both looking at the people. Those two giant cherubims represent the ministries of Moses and Elijah in the midst of the people, so that through those ministries, the prayers of the sons and daughters of God may reach the presence of God in this end time, in the age of the cornerstone. Now, that mystery of the censer is something so and so great that God is showing us the blessing that we have at this end time, in the age of the cornerstone, in the most holy place, where those two cherubims of olive wood covered with gold there in the temple that Solomon built, which were added to the ones that were commanded Moses in the tabernacle that Moses built. But they were not there. Now they are there in the temple of Solomon. Well, there must be that representation on earth after he left the throne of intercession. Well, those two cherubims of olive wood must be on earth. Wood represents humanity. Therefore, those ministries must be incarnate in a man. And gold represents divinity. It is God in that manifestation. Now notice. It says that their faces on verse 13 and their faces were inward. In other words, every child of God at this end time, by being aware that this throne already turned into a throne of judgment, what he says at this end time is, Lord, look at me through those eyes. Look at me through Moses and Elijah. Look at me through that mercy seat, so that I may receive mercy before you. I am still in this body, Lord. I am still in this body. So always look at me through those two eyes. Those are the binoculars of God. And that is why God sees his elect clean, justified before the Heavenly Father, because the blood is inside, in the soul, in the most holy place. That is the seal. And because that seal is inside, in the soul of each elect, which is the most holy place, God sees them justified. And he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen and wrought cherubims thereof. Also he made before the house 2 pillars of 30 and 5 cubits high. And the chapiter that was on the top of each of them was 5 cubits. And there he draws a star of David on the left, and he writes, Revelation 3:12, Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. In other words, an important person. That is Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 and on. and he made chains and in the oracle and put them on the heads of the pillars. And he made 100 pomegranates and put them on the chains. And he reared up the pillars before the temple, one to the right hand and the other one on the left, and called the name of that on the right hand Jachin, and the name of that on the left Boaz. Now, let's see if it is here, in this Bible, that he writes. Notice on chapter 7 of 1 Kings, on verse 21, it says, and he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin, and he set the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. And there he writes on the right upwards, Jachin, dash, he shall establish Boaz, a dash, in him is strength. Jachin, he shall establish Boaz, in him is strength. Now, our brother William continues to say here, a place of God's presence from the midst of the two cherubims, which in the church will be the two olive trees in the most holy place of the spiritual temple of Christ. In the midst of those ministries, the presence of God will be manifested in the pillar of fire, and therefore, the title deed will also be there opened in the right hand of the Lord. And the one to whom it is given will have eaten it. He wrote on page 435 of the Book of the Seals that Moses and Elijah have the title deed. And therefore, God, through Christ, the angel of the covenant, will be representing himself in that spiritual temple through the instrument that he has in his church for that time. As simple as that. And likewise, the censer will enter the most holy place of the spiritual temple of Christ. Everything that happens in heaven, in the heavenly temple, will have its representation in the spiritual temple of Christ. Therefore, let us be alert, because we are living in the time of the golden censer and the works of the incense altar, which is before the entrance to the most holy place, and the things of the most holy place, which all those things correspond to the age of the cornerstone. All that is happening in heaven at the throne of God will be reflected in the church in the age of the cornerstone. And just as there will be instrument there, there will also be instruments in the church. Now notice on page 36 in the Book of Quotations, paragraph 29. Let us see. Or 297. 297 on page 36, it says, and then if God has sent us to be his ambassadors, all the power that's in heaven, all that God is, all of his angels, and all of his power stands behind our words if we are correctly and ordained, sent messengers to the people. God has to honor the word, for he has so solemnly written that whatever you bind on earth, that will I bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, that will I loose in heaven. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages. And above he writes, ambassador of God equals, heaven stands behind him. Whatever the messenger binds or loosens. ambassador of God equals heaven stands behind him, whatever the messenger binds or loosens. Now, our brother William continues to say, just as Christ, the Messiah, takes this title deed there, then gives it to another man here on earth to eat it. As simple as that. That instrument will be the representation of what happens in heaven. That is why the prayers of the saints will be made from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be great blessings from God for all the people of God. Christ said, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, I will do it. As simple as that, said Brother William. That is why the prayers of the saints will be made from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember that he said on page 151 of the Book of the Seals, he says, and Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer Jesus when he was on earth. He was the Redeemer. That's true. But when he conquered death and hell and overcome them and ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do and they don't get nothing. See? You'll be revealed in the thunders. See? Notice the mysteries. He's coming, writing. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. Notice. No man knoweth but himself. Now notice, no man knoweth but himself. The prayers will be made from the church. Now under that new mercy seat. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. That's the subject we will be seeing next. And we ask God to continue opening that great mystery to us, which is no longer a mystery. It is already being revealed to each and every one of us. And so, that we may obtain the benefits, just as what happened 2,000 years ago, when the benefit of that work of redemption was obtained, which was carried out by the Messiah, the Christ called Jesus. And at the same time, we may not miss the blessings of the Christ, of the Anointed One, of the Messiah in his claiming work. Because he is our Lord. In his first coming, and he is our Lord in his second coming. You are my Lord. We can sing that song. I don't know if the young lady Elienai is around and can sing it. That young lady who sang it recently. She can sing it. And we can sing that song all together. You are my Lord. You are my Lord in the first coming, and you are my Lord in his second coming. Let us stand, and in that way, we can sing this song for the glory of the Lord. You are my Lord. Mi Dios, mi Rey.
toma todo de mí y haz lo que quieras tú para tu gloria. Mi alma, espíritu y cuerpo lo dedico a ti, solo para ti. Y ahora descanso en tu brazo eterno, me siento seguro en ti. A donde tú me guíes, yo te seguiré. A donde tú me lleves, allí estaré. Y lo que tú me digas, eso es lo que haré. Servirte es mi vida, Dios, permíteme llegar hasta el final.
In the message that we are reading, Modern Events, notice, he says, Lord God, I give them to you. I don't know who they are, you do. I'm only responsible for preaching your word, Lord, as you revealed it. You're responsible for the rest of it, where the seed falls. I just throw it. Lord God, I pray that it fell in good, rich soil tonight, that many will see it, Lord, and rise to shining Christians in these last days, that the great thing that we're looking forward to come will come quickly. Grant it, Lord, and you'll take your church, your bride, and take her home. We see it all setting in order. You are my Lord.
Servirte es mi vida, oh Dios, permíteme llegar hasta el final, hasta el final, hasta el final.
Whatever you tell me. Whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. Preparing myself for the place you are taking me to, which is ready, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Today is a victory day. Today is a joyful day because we have seen what the mercy seat was in its first coming. And we have seen more clearly what the mercy seat is in His second coming. We will continue singing, glorifying God and thanking Him for His coming, His first and His second coming. One already happened. The other is in the midst of the people, looking at the house of God, the church, how she is being prepared day by day to become in the image of that Son who was perfect, who received a glorified body, which in His second coming He will give His children upon receiving Him in His claiming work. Blessed be God. Blessed be His work 2,000 years ago. And blessed is the work that He is carrying out as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His claiming work. May God bless His people. May the gaze of the two olive trees impart blessings, salvation and eternal life, spiritual and physical as well. May God always look at us with those eyes of mercy, and may we always reach God's mercy. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Let us leave immediately with us our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.